Pastor Dave Rolfe encouraging us to live like you understand the big picture.
Get the big picture. Don't just start looking at what you see immediately. The big picture is that being willing to wait, being willing to suffer, being willing to be inconvenienced, being willing to be deprived, what that means is things are going to get better. There are things that God is going to do in response to your faithfulness and mine. And those are the kinds of things that ultimately make life worth living.
Wake up my soul, wake up early in the day, wake up my hand, and the instrument I play, wake up my voice, let the world hear me say, you are worshipped and exalted here today.
Discovering balanced living through the Word of God. This is The Balanced Word. Right now we're in the Proverbs, uncovering the way to smarter living. Today, Pastor Dave Rolfe is talking about deferred gratification. You've probably discovered that doesn't come easy. Whether it's giving up a meal or setting aside precious time or resources, we normally don't like to deprive ourselves in order to accomplish a greater good down the road. But that's what the Christian is called to. And Jesus laid down the perfect example on how to do this. Here's Pastor Dave to elaborate.
I think a lot of times we think that a lot of the rules in the Bible are just to make us better people and make us submit to God. But actually, God is doing what's best for us by putting limitations, by allowing us to expect and understand deprivation in certain selective ways. I mean, we talk about this a lot, spiritual disciplines, things like fasting. It's not that going without a meal or a few meals is that important for you or that good of a thing. But what it does is, as God calls people to fast, it's like, okay, I am going to deprive myself of the immediate gratification of a meal in order to accomplish a greater good down the road. But we don't like that because we don't like to defer our gratification even for one meal. Things that when the Bible talks about giving to God, it's something that was ultimately with the Jews, it was a part of the law. You have to give a percentage of all of your increase for the Lord's work. It wasn't God's fundraising thing to help him do what he wanted to do. It was for the benefit of people. See, the Bible teaches that what you sow, you're going to reap. God will always give you back more than what you give. It's a principle. But are you able to say, I will give up this amount of money right now and trust God that ultimately that's going to be in my best interest? It always would be, but hey, I don't like deprivation. So I will just spend what I have and I'll just forget about that. The Sabbath celebration where the seventh day they would take the day off and shut it down. Most of us, it's rare if any of us have a true day off. In our day off, we have a whole list of other jobs that we need to do, typically. Because what Sabbathing is, what taking a break is I say, I have a lot of stuff I could do today, but I'm just not going to do them. I'm just going to stop everything. Because I am going to show God that I trust him. I'm just going to believe that it's in my best interest long term for me to take some time out. So see, deprivation. There are other things when the Bible talks about just going and being still and quiet in the presence of the Lord. It's just, will you deprive yourself of anything that's going to ultimately produce a greater ability to have deferred gratification, one of the most important principles in life? I think sometimes it's good to do things just for the exercise of discipline. One of the things that I generally do in the mornings is after I work out at the gym, I take a freezing cold shower. Now, I know that sounds like weird, but I read, there are two reasons why I do it. For one thing, even after I get up early and I work out and I'm like, oh, I'm ready to go back to bed. I don't drink coffee, but I read a study that said, if you take a cold shower, it'll wake you up as much as the equivalent to a cup of coffee with caffeine. So that's interesting. But an even greater reason why I do it is I hate cold showers. But it's a funny thing. when every day when I just go, oof, I'm going to hate this, but I'm going to do it because it's an opportunity for me to practice discipline in my life. That may sound weird. It may sound like, oh, why are you torturing yourself? No, I just like to say, number one, I understand it's good for me. It's good for your pores and everything else. But it's just like, just because I don't like to do it, that's why I do it. Now, I'm not, you know, beating myself with whips. I'm not deliberately making myself miserable, lying on beds of nails. But in a simple way like that, something that's actually good for me that I never want to do, I never want to take a cold shower. I don't ever feel, boy, a cold shower would feel really good right now. The truth is, it never sounds really good to me to get out of bed. But you do it because you want a disciplined life. Discipline is the key to deferred gratification. And so not only taking the discipline of the restrictions that you have, like the fact that, boy, I'd love to just be unattached, but I have four kids. That's good for you. That discipline is good. You may think that you'd be better off not having that, but the truth is, every limitation on you is an opportunity for you to practice discipline, which will teach you either deferred gratification or it'll kill you. Because you have to defer your gratification when you have kids, for instance. And so deferred gratification comes from discipline. Well, where does discipline come from? Discipline ultimately comes from trust. It comes from faith. The conviction and the belief that this sacrifice that I am making is worthwhile because of what will come as a result of it. It's really interesting that with kids and deferred gratification, they've done studies, and some of them I thought were really cruel. They don't do these kind of studies anymore, but this was in the 70s, where we just thought kids were animals. But and now, of course, animals are more valuable than kids to us. But what they did is they would do the marshmallow experiment, but before they would do it, they would make a promise to a kid, and then they would either fulfill the promise or they would go back on the promise. And it was amazing. The children who had seen promises fulfilled were much more likely to end up waiting for the extra marshmallows. And we learned from that how important it is to be trustworthy to our kids if we're going to raise them with a capacity to understand deferred gratification, because you learn faith by someone being faithful to you. Now, you don't have to do the marshmallow test. I can give you a real quick test for deferred gratification. When you eat a meal, do you eat your favorite thing first? Or do you eat the stuff, you know, like me, eat the green beans first, get it over with, and then save what you like for last? Or when you eat a piece of cake, if the frosting is your favorite part, do you eat the frosting off right away, or do you eat the cake and then eat the frosting last? We decide what kind of a life are we going to live. The amount of faith that you have and trust is what causes you to save the best for last, in a sense. In Hebrews chapter 11, what we call the Hall of Faith, he says, faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Faith is the conviction that even though I don't see something, I believe it's there. And it talks about all these heroes of the faith, men like Abraham, who was willing to give his nephew Lot the better land over towards Sodom to go to the wilderness himself, because as Paul says, and I believe Paul wrote Hebrews, in Hebrews 11, he looked for a city that has foundation, whose builder and maker is God. He was looking for something greater, something more, something later, something that he would really never completely experience himself, but his people would benefit greatly by the choices that he had made. And each one of those people in Hebrews 11 is in there because they had faith. They trusted enough to allow deferred gratification to be a part of their lives, to be in their decision making. When we think about that, then the best example of all, Paul goes into in Hebrews chapter 12, beginning with verse 1, where he says, since you have all this cloud of witnesses, look at all these people. He said, you know, follow their example. Let's lay aside all the weight and the sin that slows us down and delays us. And let's run with endurance the race that's set before us. Let's look at our lives as a long race that we want to finish strong. It's not a sprint. But then he says, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame. You talk about deferred gratification. Jesus being insulted, spit upon, beaten and punched in the face when he was blindfolded, stripped naked, nailed to a cross. Why did he do that? Because there was a joy that was set before him. What he was going to accomplish was going to be much greater than the benefit that he could have had if he had just said poof and everything was over and he was gone and he was back in heaven. We received an opportunity to be saved because he deferred his gratification. And, you know, in Philippians 2, it talks about that he didn't hang on to the fact that he was God, but he emptied himself and he became a servant, humbled himself even to the point of death. Therefore, God highly exalted him and gave him a name which is above every name. Everybody's going to bow to his name. See, Jesus is the prime example of the faithful obedience that says, I'm not going to go for what I feel like doing right now. I'm not going to go for short-term benefit. I'm not going to be a sucker for that. I want to do what's going to bring the greatest future. And it was because of his joy of seeing us be able to know God, of seeing us be saved from the destruction, from the damage that's done by our sin. That was why he said, because of that joy, I'm going to endure. Now, the one other thing we have to understand in this is that life, especially when you live it for deferred gratification, it can be ugly and miserable and painful, as it was for Jesus. Turn over probably one page to Proverbs chapter 14. And I love this verse 4. Solomon says, where no oxen are, the trough is clean, but much increase comes by the strength of an ox. The idea is, you would put an ox in a little thing and they would be turning a wheel and grinding wheat and things like that. It was how you produced a good amount of your food. But the trouble is, when you have an oxen, you also have a lot of ox, we'll say dung for the biblical word. And he goes, yeah, you could keep a really clean stall if you just got rid of the ox. But the value that comes from allowing that ox to walk around and make a mess and be plopping work for you all the time is well worth it because of what that ox will accomplish. The lesson in life is that life, when you defer gratification, will often look like a mess. It will often stink. It will often be frustrating and create more work. It will be much harder. But what do you have in the long run? What do you ultimately accomplish? You know this, you learn this when you have kids, by the way. And at first, they're so lovable and cute and everything. They're messy and they're an inconvenience, but oh, and they just love you so much, it's totally worth it. Till they get older, and then they're annoying, and they think that you're an idiot, and they create problems for you, and you know, and you get the call, okay, I'll be down, officer, and I'll, you know. And you go through all of this, and sometimes you just go, if I knew how much trouble this was gonna be, I wouldn't have had kids. And that's a logical short-term response. But when you wait long enough, you get grandkids, and it's like, this is so worth it. Everything I endured, grandkids are so amazing. And, you know, you can send them home. And it's just, that's the picture. That's the image. That, yes, it's messy. It's like they say, it's better to have loved and lost than never to have loved at all. It's true. Love is messy. Love is ugly. Love can hurt you more than anything else ever in life. But to live without love in the long run, so much worse. it hurts so much more pain and emptiness. It's like, if I didn't subject myself to the agony of love, then my life would just already be meaningless and purposeless. But to choose a nice, sterile lifestyle for myself, rather than to select the messiness of love, is to misunderstand what Jesus certainly understood. I know this is going to be messy. I know this is going to be painful. But what we are ultimately going to accomplish is going to be worth it. Those are the choices that we have to make. And it will definitely affect ultimately what our lives are worth and what we experience in terms of fulfillment if we can train ourselves to say, I'm not just going to do what's easier now. I'm not going to spend money that I don't have. I'm not going to cut corners in terms of my life. I'm not going to go for the immediate pleasure. I'm not going to go for the immediate escape. I'm going to do what's going to give me big picture, that which ultimately life offers to me. So when we look at it, a few things that I think it's important for us to remember. Doing the right thing, you know, being willing to work and wait is always worth it. It's always worth deferring gratification. Gratification will come because God's faithful, and life just works that way. It's worth it to wait. Secondly, it's going to be messy. Expect life to be messy. It's never going to be neat. It's never going to be as easy as you think it is, because God wants us to learn discipline, and He knows the best way that we learn discipline is with a shovel, is with a, you know, oh, I can't get what I want. And so don't think something's gone wrong when life is challenging and difficult. Realize these are opportunities for greatness, because it's not always going to be this way. And if I am going through challenging circumstances now, it must mean that someday this is going to be worth it. You know, doing the right thing. Just decide. And it's not so much that you do the right thing. That's not the big thing to God. It's that you desire to do the right thing and you try to. I don't think most of the time the decisions that we make in life, whether we do the right or wrong choice, is that big of a deal. People stress out over, I don't know what the right thing to do is. That's not the important thing. See, Romans 8:28 says, God causes everything to work together for good if you're loving Him and you're called according to His purpose. The real thing is, do you even want to do the right thing? If you think it's the right thing to do, do it. It will always pay off, because you will be depriving yourself of an immediate pleasure to gain something way more valuable than that. And then I would say another thing we learn from this is, be really suspicious of things that feel good right now. Be really suspicious of things that seem like the easiest, you know, the path of least resistance now. Because quite often, those are red herrings that cause us to go astray, to get sucked into, you know, a carrot being dangled in front of our nose, or something that looks like an easy way out. What life should feel like right now is discipline. We should feel like we're going through tough situations, because the deepest meaning of life is the capacity that we have to solve problems. When you stop having problems to solve, you stop living. So to embrace that reality is to say, okay, I have some problems. How am I going to solve them? That's where life comes from, ultimately. That's the story of the history of the world. God created people, put them in a perfect environment, and after Genesis chapter 3, the rest of the Bible is God solving the problem of people rejecting Him, of people sinning and the damage that it's done. So for our lives, we should, if it looks like it's easy, we should lean against that choice. We ought to say, what are some challenging things? What are some problems that God might want to help me solve in this situation? We'll become much healthier. We'll become so much more blessed. And then it feels so good when you work your way through something and then it's like, wow, this really was worth waiting for. This really was worth working for. The thing is, get the big picture. Don't just start looking at what you see immediately. The big picture is that being willing to wait, being willing to suffer, being willing to be inconvenienced, being willing to be deprived. What that means is things are going to get better. There are things that God is going to do in response to your faithfulness and mine. And those are the kinds of things that ultimately make life worth living. So for all of us, look at the long-term picture. Now, if you're here today and, you know, everything I've said, you might go, yeah, that's good advice. I'm not really into the whole Jesus thing, but certainly deferred gratification is a great principle that, you know, even people who don't believe in God can benefit from that. And it's true. It can help you if you just begin to live your life with deferred gratification as opposed to without. But let's really get the big picture. What are you going to do about after you're dead? What are you going to do in the big, big picture with your soul that was designed to live forever? Are you going to solve that problem? Or are you just going to be like lazy people who just like think problems go away by themselves? See, God has provided an opportunity for you to be forgiven, for you to start life over. Our salvation is free. And if you have never done anything about that, if you are putting off that because it's a difficult, you know, decision to make, I would challenge you, just deal with it. Would you just take the medicine now? Not to fix something now, but to take care of later, to give you a better future later, a promise of life. Because you'll find out he'll do amazing things in your life right now. Whatever is holding you back from getting right with God is some whatever gratification you're hanging on to, rather than to deny yourself, receive him, it's stealing from you. It will ultimately destroy your eternity. Someday, you'll still bow to him, but it'll be too late to bow as his subject. You'll be bowing to say, wow, I should have done that. Today can be the day when you get right with him. It's free. It's simple. It's so easy that you may look right past it and look right over it. It's just a simple choice to say, I'll trust you. I want that. I want you in my life. I want and need to be forgiven. And if that's you, get right today with him. Look at the true big picture. Then you'll find that in life, he helps you to see what matters and what doesn't. He leads and guides you toward making sacrificial decisions that give longer-term rewards.
We're receiving God's wisdom from the Proverbs right here on The Balanced Word with Pastor Dave Roth. It's part of a series called Smarter Living. And you can request a CD copy by calling 949-362-7475. I should also mention this entire series is available on a USB for a donation of $10 or more. You'll receive all 51 messages in the series that'll lead you to smarter living as you hear and learn to live by God's wisdom from the Proverbs. So call us at 949-362-7475 and ask for the Smarter Living Thumb Drive. Our programs are also available online at thebalancedword.com. Thank you for your support of the Balanced Word Radio Ministry. It allows us to bring Pastor Dave's teachings to stations like this one all across the nation. Donations can be made at thebalancedword.com. Dave Rolfe is the pastor of Pacific Hills Calvary Chapel in Aliso Viejo. You can hear him teach on a Sunday morning at any one of these three times, 8, 9:45, and 11:30. Visit ccpacifichills.org for more information or to live stream. Check out Pastor Dave's one-minute messages, a great way to start the day. You can listen to them at thebalancedword.com or watch them on Instagram or Facebook by following CC Pacific Hills. Now to wrap up our time in prayer, here again is Pastor Dave.
Lord, thank you for not just telling us about deferred gratification, but coming from the highest place in existence. You showed us what it's like to come and serve and love and ultimately sacrifice, the ultimate sacrifice, because we were worth that much to you. Help us to appreciate that, but help us to follow your example, that by faith we will understand that when we stop grasping at immediate fulfillment. And we begin to defer our gratification that you have what's best for us, that we won't be like those who are eating like pigs and then starving, having tons of money and spending it all, but we will live like people who understand the big picture. We thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.
Tomorrow on The Balanced Word, we're learning how to deal with foolish people as Pastor Dave Roth opens Proverbs 18. This program is brought to you by Pacific Hills Calvary Chapel in Aliso Viejo.
Wake up, my soul. Wake up early in the day. Wake up my hands and the instrument I play.